In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Throughout the Divine Liturgy, we hear something that repeats over and over and over again. And if I asked you to tell me what that is, what would you say? Lord, have mercy. We hear this constantly. So many repetitions. And it's for a good reason. Well, first of all, we hear it singularly. Sometimes we hear it in groups of three. Sometimes we hear it 12 times. Sometimes 40 times. Sometimes 100 times. And at least once a year, 500 times at the exaltation of the cross. So this is something that is ingrained in us. It is something that it is so easy to remember, something we take to heart, but also something that we can take for granted if we're not careful. Lord, have mercy. How powerful those words are. But yet, I'll bet you, instead of just uttering these words during your prayer life, I will bet you any money, because I know I do it, and I'm sure you do too, that we are sometimes asking God for things that we're maybe not sure about. We're maybe a little uncertain about whether we should be asking this, or it might be a desire, it might be a want. We can't really be sure, but yet we feel like somehow, Lord, have mercy isn't enough. And so what do? Well, we try to convince God. We try to explain some things to Him. Like, Lord, now this is something that I feel that I really need, but just in case you're unclear about my reasons, let me try and clarify for you. And so we go to the Lord and we give Him all these rationales and explanations as to exactly what it is that we are desiring. And of course, that's all in the hopes that He's going to turn and say to us, why, yes, my child, thank you. I was a little confused about this. But now that you've explained it to me, I understand completely. And so, you know, click your heels together three times, rub your prayer rope, and all will be well. That's how we often approach God, not understanding, of course, that He knows absolutely everything that we need before we ask it. And that sometimes if we just narrow it down to those three words, Lord, have mercy, that is simply all that we need to say. In today's gospel, we have an example of that. We have a man, his name was Bartimaeus. We don't know that from St. Luke's gospel, but St. Mark tells us about it. And he is sitting on the roadside, and probably like a lot of people that we sometimes approach with handicaps, we sort of treat them like they're not whole, complete persons. You know, he may have been blind, but I'll bet you anything that he heard far more than anyone else along that road. He heard conversations, he heard whisperings, he heard absolutely everything because his hearing was exaggerated because of the fact that he couldn't see. And he sees that there's a crowd coming along. He feels this. He hears the ruckus. What's going on? What is going on? Well, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming up the road. And Bartimaeus, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the desire of his heart, cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, what do all those around him do? Well, they're not very happy about this. As you can imagine, any kind of entourage that we see today, you know, some famous person comes around and they've got all their handlers around them, right? Well, you know, the disciples were the handlers in this case. And so they're saying, well, of course, you know, this, you know, you need to be quiet. You know, this is the Jesus Christ show that we've got going on here. And we're trying to get this man safely through here. And so don't be yelling out things at him. That's not proper. That's not the way things are supposed to work. But Bartimaeus doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. He's got one thing in mind. That he wants to talk to the Lord. And so yet again, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even louder. Now the gospel says twice, but I can kind of imagine that it was more than that. It was probably a continuous hearkening unto the Lord. Please, Lord, come here, come here. And the Lord hears him. And of course, the disciples are probably thinking, oh, you know, the disciples all through the Gospels. You can kind of see it. There's a crowd. The Lord does something that is not scripted, doesn't he? He does this all the time, and the disciples are scrambling. Oh, what now? What now? Here we go. We've got to improvise. But the Lord goes to him, and he says simply, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a question. What do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus, of course, has only one thing in mind. Lord, I would receive my sight. And the Lord grants him this and says, your faith has made you well. And then it talks about how he glorifies God and all those people, those same people who are trying to keep the Lord from talking to Bartimaeus in the first place, are also glorifying God. It's interesting, too, because, of course, though in the Gospels it talks about how Bartimaeus glorifies God, St. Cyril of Alexandria, who is the absolute authority on everything having to do with St. Luke, takes a little bit different angle on this. He says that Bartimaeus was glorifying Jesus as God. Not that they were simply glorifying God, but no, he was glorifying Jesus as God. And why does he say this? Well, because he knows that Bartimaeus, sitting there all those years, has a certain amount of intelligence, and he understands that you would not go to a mere man to ask for something like your sight. And so Bartimaeus had to know. He had to know that this was more than just a regular guy, that this was someone absolutely special, someone that the Holy Spirit had prompted him to scream as loud as he could to try and get his attention, no matter what the disciples said, no matter what the crowd says. And I often think, if the Lord came to us, if he appeared to you one night and he said, what would you have me do for you? What would we say? What would the answer be? Because at that point, we are coming face to face with God, who is wanting to give to us whatever it is that we feel we need. But yet we're often confused about this. How often I've heard, after so many years of hearing confessions, Father Gregory, you're probably the same way. People come to you and they say, well, Father, you know, I prayed for this over and over and over again, and the Lord's just not listening. Or he's not granting me this. He's not doing what I want him to do, essentially. And our own St. James has the answer for that. What does he say? Well, you pray and you receive not because you ask amiss. You are not asking properly. You're not being honest with yourself in terms of the things that you really want or desire or need. Bartimaeus knew, after a complete long lifetime of blindness, he knew what his heart's desire was. And when the moment came, he was able to articulate this. And because he was honest with himself, and the Lord knew this, the Lord granted him his sight. But for us, we're caught up so many times in superfluous things. Things that we think we want, things that we think we know that we want, and yet perhaps are not the best things for us. Because we have not progressed spiritually enough in order to see deep into our own souls to realize what our deficiencies are and what we need from the Lord Himself. And so we pray and we receive not because we ask amiss. What is the cure for this? Well, I can't give you a blue pill or a green pill to show you what the answer might be. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. But it starts with complete honesty in terms of who we are and where we are in our lives and what our true desires are in terms of our life. Is it for things that we think we need in the world, but we really don't? mean, there are so many things. We live in a society that is defined by two words, I want. I was hearing that in a Google Pixel commercial the other day, Pixel 4. And the song comes in, I want, I want, I want. I mean, that's, you know, I want it, I want it, I want it. We have, just a couple of miles from here, a temple, a beautiful, glorious, huge temple to I want. It's called the Mall of Georgia. I mean, it's got everything. Everything your heart could desire is there. And right now, and since Friday, there are people over there that are bowing down to the God of I want because they believe that there are certain things that they have to have, whether for themselves or for other people. They are there, and they are wanting things. But what do we really want? Do we really want to be united with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ in the closest possible way? Do we really want this more than anything? Do we want to be saints? And if we don't, well, we need to check our wants at the door and re-examine ourselves, because these are the things that are going to matter in the long run. These are the things that we take with us. None of this other stuff is going to go there. Not at all. I once talked to my old friend Bishop Gabriel in Rokar, and he, like me and like the now Bishop Luke up in Jordanville, were fervent CD collectors. I mean, I've got thousands of classical CDs at home, and they were very big on classical CDs. And the bishop told me once in my house, Bishop Gabriel, he said, well, Father, you know, sometimes I think that this is too much. You know, we desire these things a little too much. Because, and I said, well, you know, after all your grace, you can't take it with you, can you? And he kind of winked at me and looked at me and said, well, you're probably right, but I'm going to try. Because he knew that he desired this so much, that he was so attached to these things, that he had such a great love for music and for collecting these CDs, that sometimes it got in his way. And I understand that completely. And there are other things that all of us have that get in our way, that we think that we want, that we think that we need, but yet we're not really honest with ourselves. When the Lord asks us, what do you want from me? We need to say, Lord, I want you. And I want you regardless of what that means. If that means I lose everything else is gone, taken from me. If I'm completely destitute, then that's fine. That's what we should want. You know, in terms of another story in the Russian Orthodox Church, you know, the Russians are really big about clergy awards. There's something like 12 of them, starting with what's called the Nebedrinik, a little, you know, something like the Epigonatian here, the pilots, only it's square. It's the first thing you get as an award after you're made a priest. And so they pile these things on and on and on. I mean, you can get up to 3 crosses and all kinds of other privileges and whatnot. I mean, it's just never ending. And St. John Maximovich, St. John the Wonder Worker, had a great idea. You know what he said? He said, what we should do is when a priest is ordained, we should just dump all of this stuff on him. Give him absolutely everything, all awards all at once. And then, as time goes on, we'll gradually strip him down. We'll take these things off. So when he finally meets the Lord, he will be just a priest with no accoutrements whatsoever, completely bare. And you know, there's been competition for these awards, because in the Russian church, it's unlike here in our Antiochian church where you become an archpriest, they plan it out, there's a, you know, big honor and all this kind of thing. It's always a surprise in the Russian church, given out at the little entrance. And so you've got a bunch of priests there, and I tell you, they all stand there, they're looking around, you know, who's going to get the goodie bag this time? Who's going to get an award? So there's this sort of competition for these things, but I'll bet you any money that if you had everything and you were divested of them, there'd still be competition. Who's going to get stripped down today? Who's going to lose that cross? It's human nature. You know, it's human nature. We desire these things, we want these things, and they mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. I'm going to go, hopefully, into the kingdom of heaven just like you are. Nothing is going to matter here. You know, vestments, crosses, none of that's going to matter. The Lord's going to ask me the same questions that He asks all of us. What have you done with the grace that I gave you? What do you want from me? Do you want salvation? Do you want eternal life? Is there any little part of me that I can see in you? Because that, my brothers and sisters, is salvation. If there's that one little glow, that one little indication of the Spirit of our Lord in us, that's what He's looking for. And this is what we have to desire more than anything else in the world. Imitate Bartimaeus. Knock on that door. Beg our Lord Jesus Christ to come to you, to enter into your life fully, to make you understand that He has got to be the number one thing that we all desire. Don't ever stop. Shout. Scream. Don't give up. It's got to be something continuous and constant. We have to go after these things. We have to stretch our hand to the Lord. We have to knock down the door to the kingdom of heaven, because we know that it's a violent thing. We know that it's a difficult thing sometimes for us to do, but we can't give up. And particularly in this season, when we await the Lord's incarnation, which absolutely changes the entire world as He becomes flesh, more than ever, we need to unite ourselves to Him so that He will know, when He asks us these things, that we know exactly what it is that we desire from Him. Amen.